morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin B. on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Good morning, Oshkosh, as well, listening on WISS. Appreciate you joining us. You can always call or text at 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Very excited to have our next guest with us in the studio. She is with Vocalsang Law, which is based out of Chicago. Marilla Copier, thank you so much for coming in. It's so lovely to see you.
Oh, Jane, thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Now, when we spoke on the phone, and I just find this whole thing really interesting, Vocalsang Law is unique in the cases that you handle because you're very specific to particular types of cancers, correct?
Correct.
And so mesothelioma, did I say that right?
Close.
is very specific to people in the trades and because it's about asbestos exposure, correct?
Correct. Yes, that is correct.
And what does this mean literally for people who develop this type of cancer?
So mesothelioma is the only reason that you can be diagnosed with mesothelioma is if you were exposed to asbestos. So typically, people will be diagnosed with pleural mesothelioma, which is in the lungs. Peritoneal is probably the second most common one. And then there are a couple other variations as well. But typically, it's in the lungs. And if you look at the CT scan, it literally looks like little hooks in the mesothelium of the lungs, so the lining of the lungs.
Okay.
It's a horrific disease, and it basically suffocates the patient from
slowly.
The inside out. Yeah. It's really, really horrible, and I've been with the firm for 8 years, and I've seen our clients, and I've seen the deterioration after diagnosis, and unfortunately, this disease can take up to 60 years to manifest.
60 years?
Believe it or not, yes.
So the magical properties of asbestos is the fire retardants.
Yes. Yes.
And so it was, I'm assuming was it 40s and 50s and 60s?
I mean, since the early 1900s. And unfortunately, as I mentioned on the phone when we spoke, is that asbestos is still legal in the United States. It was, the mining of it was banned in 2002, but we can still import it and it can be used in small quantities to this day. So
that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
How do we not know that? I feel like when you say asbestos, the first thing you think is illegal.
You would think.
Yeah,
but,
I did.
But
today.
In small enough amounts.
Yep.
What is it used for in small enough amounts then?
It's typically in construction, yeah. in all different types of construction. But back in the day, it used to be used in everything.
Yeah.
It was cheap. It was malleable. It was fire retardant. And it was used in tiles, insulation.
Sure.
Yeah.
I obviously work with the insulators. Insulators used to be called asbestos workers. So, but
schools? It was in schools?
Yep. It was in schools. Believe it or not, there was a video I had once watched of a commercial of, you know, the kids playing with their trains.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be used in trains. And you would see this powder as the train was going on the track, just coming up.
Jeez.
And it was like, asbestos, it's the miracle product.
Well, and you think about it, too, if it's going back far enough, too, those little trains were probably painted with lead paint as well.
Probably.
Like, those are the two things I think of old, like lead paint, asbestos, the things of the future. If you go near them, you will die. You know, it's just, and so to me, like, lead, anything is, I believe it's all illegal now. Like anything lead.
Well, lead, that's why we're replacing all the lead lines.
Yeah, but I can't get over the idea that asbestos is still illegal.
Very much so, yeah.
Oh, and so they are still mining asbestos in other countries.
Correct.
Yeah.
Russia is probably the biggest importer or exporter of it. Yeah, but
why does that not surprise
me? I mean,
not trying to create an international incident, but,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, it is very, very unfortunate. There's probably about 3,000 people that are diagnosed with mesothelioma every year in the United States. There probably should be about 5,000. The problem is because the dormancy is so long that people, and especially I work with a lot of union guys, they
sure.
don't want to go to the doctor.
Right.
Yeah. They don't want to know what's wrong with them. And then all of a sudden, you know, the day of their retirement party, and I speak of this particular story of one of our clients who's a pipe fitter, Local 597, And at his retirement party, you know, he was having a hard time breathing. His wife said, that's it. You're going to the doctor. Made an appointment, went to the doctor, and he didn't even get his first retirement paycheck. He passed away within a month.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I am a big preacher to all of the union guys and gals that I speak to about getting tested. If you worked around asbestos, whether it was a day or a year, go get tested. Go get those CT scans, x-rays. And at least you can figure out a marker. So if it just so happens that they find a spot on your lungs, that's not necessarily a death sentence. It's not necessarily meso. It's not lung cancer. It's not asbestosis. But at least it's a marker where you can track it. There's constant research out there, and every single year, as far as different treatments, immunotherapy, chemotherapy, radiation, even surgery. So like I mentioned, the other form is peritoneal mesothelioma, which is in the stomach. So there have been so many advances where surgeons will actually take out the stomach, wash it in a chemo bath, and put it back, and they've had amazing results. So that's why, at least if you know, if you can track it, you know.
Well, knowledge is power, first and foremost, right? And then at least you have something to start with or work with. That's remarkable. I have never heard of such a
Neither
thing.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
We did get a question on the live stream. Papa Rico, one of our longtime listeners, he asks, have there been any connections or studies done on fiberglass and mesothelioma or mesothelium?
So the mesothelium is the lining along the lungs. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. That's not my forte.
All right.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Now, I imagine that one of the things when I think of mesothelioma, that's harder to say.
I really thought
I was going to nail it on the first try, is our commercials during the day. And I imagine with, you know, the TV shows they have on, it's hard to cut through the noise of all the other advertisements. At some point you can drown that information out. What do you do besides, I'm sure your law office has commercials that are, you don't.
So let me tell you about commercials.
Okay, good, perfect. Because I have to imagine that's tough to, like, between juicers and all that stuff, and people just hear mesothelioma, they're like, all right, I'm going to go back to my phone now.
I just want to do a reset here quickly. If you're just joining us, Mirella Copier is our guest. She's with Vogelsang Law in Chicago. And we're talking in particular about mesothelioma.
Good job.
Thank you. I said it really quick. Hopefully I would screw it up. If you have a question for Mirella, you can always call or text at 844-967-2789. So let's talk about advertisements.
So my title at the law firm, I'm director of PR and union relations, right? Mm-hmm. So the 800 numbers you see that if you or a loved one was diagnosed with mesothelioma, call 1-800, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're not actual law firms and they're marketing companies. So law firms
hire... Law firms hire these marketing companies, right?
They'll pay them for their leads, is what they do. And unfortunately, so that's our niche. That's what we do. We're a boutique law firm. All we do is asbestos litigation. 95% of our cases are all asbestos. We do a couple other toxic torts, and that's only because they're litigated the same way. So like silica, Roundup, Valspartan, that type of thing. But asbestos is what we do.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, these not very reputable law firms will get these leads and do a disservice to those people because they don't know how to litigate it. Asbestos is very, very specific. It's not workers' comp. It's not a DUI. It's not divorce. It's not anything else. It has its own docket in Chicago and in any other court system. So it's litigated very, very specifically. You know, I work with, again, a lot of unions, and they have workers' comp attorneys. And even those attorneys that I know will refer an asbestos case to us because we know how to litigate it, right? Mm-hmm. So we represent clients all over the country. It doesn't matter where you worked, where you live. We go after the manufacturer of asbestos. So not the mom and pop shop, not the contractors, the actual manufacturer of the asbestos. So that's why our clients can live and have worked wherever. Chicago is one of the biggest asbestos dockets in the country. So typically we will file it in Chicago, but we are licensed in Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, and Florida. We have filed it in different places, but different states have different laws.
Sure.
And, you know,
sure.
favor and stuff like that. But Chicago and Madison County is another one, which is down south. Illinois is another big asbestos docket. But typically, doesn't matter where our clients lived or work, we'll file it in Chicago.
Marilla, I had no idea until you and I spoke on the phone that this was so incredibly specific that it has its own docket.
Yep.
What does that mean?
So that means that we file it to a specific judge.
Oh.
So, yeah, each workers' comp has their own judges that they deal with, DUI, divorce, you know, traffic, all that. They have their own judges that they deal with. So our docket is specific. It's the same judge, the same law clerks, that type of thing.
This not gonna, well, are there any companies out there that you've gone after or who have been regular offenders who just have basic, here's a case, here's a check, done? Or do they still fight to this day, even though they're the ones who caused the damage?
Yes. So believe it or not, we are litigators. So our attorneys are litigators. We will go to court. Mm-hmm. The pipe fitter that I was telling you about, we went to verdict. And the verdict was $7.8 million, if I'm not mistaken, for his family, unfortunately. It was the justice that we provided for his family. But it was one of those things that we had. It was U.S. Steel. That's who we went after specifically to verdict.
Yeah.
And we're ready to pick a jury, you know, depose people, go to court, go in front of the jury, fight for our clients. And if take it all the way, normally, I will say in the 8 years, we'll settle the cases because these defense attorneys know that, you know, they can't say, oh, no, well, my company that produced asbestos didn't give them mesothelioma, even though
maybe he got it doing sports.
Right. So luckily, the litigators that came before our attorneys in the 70s and 80s did give us some case law and, you know.
To some precedents to work
off
of.
Exactly.
That's excellent.
If you're just joining us, Marilla Copier is our guest. She is with Vogelzang Law, and we're talking about mesothelioma. If you have a question or a comment, 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream as well on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board. You can always join us, 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Very happy to have our guest in studio with us. She is with Vogelzang Law in Chicago, Marilla Copier, and we're talking about mesothelioma. And I thought it was really telling, Marilla, when we were talking about the advertisements that you'll see, you know, if you've been affected by mesothelioma, call this 1-800 number. That reminds me when we were talking about Medicare enrollment, Greg Bach.
Yeah.
And we had our guest on from Medicare, and that was kind of all the ads that you were seeing. Call 1-800, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, call Medicare. You know, call the people who are actually handling this. And that's kind of how I feel about what your law firm does. You specialize in this.
Right. I think the biggest misnomer that these commercials put out there is that mesothelioma is a class action, and it's not.
It's an individual case by case.
Absolutely. There's not a $300 trillion amount there set in the sky that people can just pluck from. I mean, that's not how it works. We litigate each of our clients individually. Typically, we will sue anywhere from 30 to 36 defendants per client. And once the case is over, yes, we do have a bankruptcy department that, again, people are kind of, well, what does that mean? You know, so the court system throughout the years, ever since that, you know, asbestos has been litigated, a lot of these companies will go bankrupt, and the courts have made them put aside a certain amount of money. But that money doesn't mean that it's you know, never-ending supply
sure,
of money.
Yeah, sure.
So what our bankruptcy department does, and our three female attorneys, brilliant, brilliant female attorneys, head our bankruptcy department along with some paralegals and settlements coordinators and stuff. They sit there and look for all of these trusts and will apply for every single one of our clients for the last 20-some years for every single one of these trusts to see if, you know, a client is eligible, if they were, you know, possibly exposed to this particular product from this particular company that happened to go bankrupt 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago.
Wow.
So that's what the bankruptcy department is. And once our, like I said, once the active case is over, we will transfer it over to our bankruptcy department, and these brilliant individuals that we have will sit there and go through all of the trusts and fill out pages and pages of applications for every single one of our clients.
Marilla, I know that asbestos removal abatement, it's called asbestos abatement, is extraordinarily expensive.
Yes.
What makes that so complicated?
Well, because from what I understand from speaking to, you know, a lot of the insulators that will do it now, the machinery that it takes, it also, they do it like a wet abatement is what I understand.
So there's not so much dust?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the biggest thing. But it's still a lot of protective gear. It's still a lot of equipment. I know that, you know, for Chicago Public Schools, for example, 95% of those buildings have asbestos in them, and, you know, the city doesn't have money to remove it.
Not by a long shot.
Right. But it is. It's a process. It's a process. It's time consuming. It takes a lot of manpower, a lot of machinery, a lot of, you know, protection and stuff like that. So that's why it's expensive.
I realize that you're not a chemist, but aren't there other materials less harmful than asbestos that can be used for fire retardancy?
I would assume so. I mean, I know that I work with firefighters too, and their uniforms and their gloves used to be made with asbestos.
Their gloves were made with asbestos.
Yes. So because
I mean, it makes sense. It's right? Fire retardant. So, I mean.
Right.
Right.
But when did we first start learning about the deadly complications that can rise from asbestos? I mean, when were the first litigations? When did that start happening?
So I want to say that was back in, and my boss, our owner is so much better at giving these like detailed presentations, but I want to say it was like back in the 60s and 70s, kind of when OSHA started getting involved.
Oh, okay.
But believe it or not, these big, you know, million and billion dollar companies, they knew about the dangers of asbestos back in the late 1800s. So, and I've gone to enough conferences and have read enough about the subject and the litigation part and, you know, seen presentations from other prosecutors. And yeah, these big companies put price tags on people's head because they're like, well, that's okay because
it's the price of doing business.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's nothing surprising. All these, like, everyone on the earth except for five guys who own tobacco companies knew until the 1950s that smoking was bad for you. And they just didn't want to admit it because it would slow down productivity.
Right.
We have another question here from Papa Rico. He says, I can guarantee you after 47 years in the field of industrial maintenance and construction, I've been exposed to asbestos. Do I have to get the disease in order to have a claim?
Yes. So in order to have a case, we do need a diagnosis.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. That just makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think too, tragically, this reinforces the need for organizations like OSHA and regulations, because if we count on all of our business leaders to always do the right thing, shockingly, that doesn't always happen.
Right. Yeah.
And I would like to believe that they would. I think we would all like to believe that they would. But as you said, they've known about the detrimental effects of asbestos since the 1800s. It's 2024, people.
Don't worry. We have our own OSHA. It's great. It's absolutely great. We have our own hats. There's a clipboard. Yeah, I mean, nothing surprises me when it comes to these big businesses and putting their bottom line and their shareholders over the safety of their workers.
Well, and one of the questions you asked Marilla a little bit earlier, too, was do they just build in judgments as part of the cost of doing business? Because we've seen that with railroad companies.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you see it with I'm sure car manufacturers as well, you know, like recalls and things like that. It just makes me think of, what was that, Fight Club?
Fight Club.
Yeah.
They have money set aside, but they also have formulas they have to run to make sure that a recall will be less, it will be less expensive than lawsuits.
Exactly.
844-967-2789. Only have about a minute and a half left. Tony from Beaver Dam, thank you for joining us. Did you have a question for Morella?
Well, I worked in the asbestos industry, unaware of it. Worked in a boiler plant, and you could see the asbestos flying in the air. I've suffered from COPD now for numerous years, decades, and I, you know, nobody seems to like want to say that it's from asbestos or whatever.
Is there something we can do for you, Tony?
I just don't know what direction to take.
As far as medical, well, you know, it depends on what kind of testing you've had, you know, any CT scans or x-rays or PET scans. That's normally how we'll figure out a diagnosis of either mesothelioma, lung cancer, because of asbestos exposure, asbestosis. As I mentioned before, asbestos is a very specific marker.
Right.
So,
right. Well, Tony, hang on for a second, and we'll at least get you a phone number where you can get more information if you would like. We are coming up against the news. Morella Copier has been our guest with Vogelzang Law in Chicago. Really, really interesting half hour, Morella. Thank you so very much for your time. Stay
Thanks
close.
For back.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
So much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now, but now these days are gone, days are I'm gone. Not so self-assured. Now I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors.
Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Cool Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you want to call or text 844-967-2789, 844-96-PASTY. Or leave a message on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Really appreciate Morella Copier coming up from Chicago today talk about. She is terrific. So interesting.
Such energy and enthusiasm to talk about a really complicated and difficult problem, too. And,
absolutely.
You know, just the work that they're doing to help people, I love it. And you know, more of that to happen. And I hope get a chance to talk to her again because she's just fantastic.
Yeah, she is. If you have a comment again, 844-967-2789, we're going to change directions slightly for the last half hour
really,
of the show.
We're really good at that.
Changing directions?
Yeah, we're really good at topic hopping.
You gotta mix things up a little bit. This caught my eye this morning. Now, in fairness, in full disclosure, I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in decades.
Oh, God, neither have
I. You know, I mean, I will watch recaps and things the following day, but I haven't stayed up that late to watch late night TV in forever. But this jumped out at me this morning. It's in the Daily Mail from across the pond.
Very, very reputable news source.
Yeah, it's another...
Owned by...
Rupert, I believe.
Oh, Rupi.
I think old Rupi.
It's good to see him succeeding.
Headline reads, SNL is blasted after mocking Trump for using the term debank, claiming he made it up, even though it's a common term to discuss financial institutions closing accounts they find risky.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. SNL's wrong.
The Daily Mail.
Daily Mail has propped up Donald Trump in his big Bahrain and his best words.
College.
Who else used that word? They said, didn't they say this?
Nigel Farage.
Who is Nigel Farage?
Isn't he the disgraced Oh, he wasn't prime minister.
No, he's the architect of Brexit.
Oh, that's who Nigel is.
Using nothing but the best in misinformation, xenophobia, and pure bigotry to thrust that country into financial, not ruin, but... Yeah. Good job, Nigel.
Yeah, the Daily Mail says in the UK, debank became mainstream last year.
Okay.
When Nigel Farage saw his account shut down by a bank because he's claiming that they didn't want him as an account because he was dangerous and harmful to their reputation. Now, the fact that, this is a widespread term that was adopted last year and then jumping all over SNL for expressing skepticism. We did too. We have the clip. We played the clip last week.
Yep.
Because I had never heard this term before.
Neither have I.
Debank. Take a listen to the former president.
You know, we have more liquid gold and wealth under our feet than any other nation. We have more liquid gold, oil and gas. Liquid gold.
Genius.
Well, I just met non-liquid gold. You know where it was?
Iowa.
It's called corn. Mm. They have, it's non-liquid. That's my idea. You have more non-liquid gold.
Non-liquid.
They said, what is that? I said, corn. They said, we love that idea. You know, that's a pretty cool thought, isn't
they
it?
They said.
That's a nickname in its own way, but we came up with a new word for a new couple of words for corn. Mm. We're also going to place strong protections to stop banks and regulators from trying to debank you from your political beliefs, what they do. They want to debank you, and we're going to debank. Think of this. They want to take away your rights. They want to take away your country. The things you're doing, all electric cars, give me a break. If you want an electric car, good, but they don't go far. They're very expensive.
Wait a minute. Go back to debanking. Let's talk about debanking.
We're going to debank you from your political beliefs?
Okay.
Okay. So a couple things there. First of all, that first part with the liquid gold / corn.
Yeah.
If you ever want to know what a terrible open mic sounds like, that's it. Where a guy standing on stage is with so much white man confidence saying something he thinks is amazing, and there's people in the audience going, when are we leaving now? You call Uber at this point? Like, let's just close the tab and leave. We're going to leave now. And the other thing, too, is I told you this before we went on break. So my wife, whom I love so very much, has been working in banking for 25 years.
Oh, actual banks.
Actual banks.
Okay.
She's worked for a bevy of them. She has survived mergers and a financial meltdown and still works in the banking industry. We watched that episode of SNL on
Saturday.
Sunday. Yeah, on Sunday.
Okay.
So we don't stay, please.
You don't stay up either. Good. Yeah. I'm glad to know that.
And when they played that clip, I don't want to compare her. I'm not comparing my wife to a dog, but you know how when a dog hears something, their ears go up?
Oh, yeah.
Her head went up like, what is debanking? What does that mean? And she works in commercial banking all over and with companies all over the world. So she understands all the different,
the jargon.
All the jargon. And she still was like, debanking is not a word. What is he talking about? You sad, sad man.
During SNL over the weekend updates, Colin Jost, who is the host, is a graduate of Harvard.
Harvard.
And he said Trump did have a slight stumble this week while talking about banks. He introduced an interesting new term called debank. I don't know what debank means, but you might have to take the ambulance to see the doctor if you need one.
There you go.
And again, the Daily Mail jumping all over SNL. The woke smugness, Greg, is out of control.
Oh,
because debank became such a common term in 2023. By Nigel Farage.
Oh, the tastemaker, the trendsetter that is Nigel Farage. We were all left behind on the bus of cool words that he started saying. You're right. I mean, I'm looking back now, I think I heard like Taylor Swift had a song about debanking.
Oh, yeah.
Beyonce has an album called Debanking.
Yeah.
It's really just, we are the ones who are out of touch. And how dare we make fun of a 70-year-old idiot who wants to be president. How dare we?
Going back to this article in the Daily Mail.
Making your head hurt, isn't it?
It is. In 2017, Google, Facebook, and PayPal began banishing extremist groups and individuals who identified or supported white supremacists.
Okay, we took another turn.
In a 2023 Newsweek article, charities such as the National Committee for Religious Freedom were debanked. The group later told by J.P. Morgan Chase it would be allowed to maintain a customer if it provided a list of donors, and they refused. This sounds to me like if it is a bank, you don't have to take everyone's business, do you?
No. And just because the term has been used before doesn't mean it's a mainstream word.
No.
No. So.
No, it's not a mainstream word. And trust me, it's not like I think everything SNL does is so great. And Greg and I were talking about this off the air before the show even started. And I watched from the beginning.
Yeah.
When
they invented television,
yes, when
people.
They invented TVs, and we had to hold, you know, the antennas and have foil on our head in order to.
When you had a remote control and they were called your kids.
Yeah, go change the channel. So there have been rocky seasons forever.
Every season's a rocky season.
Yeah.
Period.
Some of it is brilliant, right? Some of it's brilliant. Some of it is painful.
And that can mean the same episode.
Oh, yeah.
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 So. This whole thing about
this violent reaction.
Well, that's just what happens when you go after their leader. When you go after the leader, they have to fire back. And so far, all they have and all they've had for the past year or so is using the term woke. Anytime you have any sort of criticism, it's, oh, you're part of the woke mob. No, I'm just a person who has a brain in his head. And knows words, and debanking is not one of them.
Texter from the 608, Canadians have always used debank to put their money in.
Oh, dar hey. Oh, we got a text. We got a text from Mark from the sack to borrow from the bees fees. It's only words, and words are all Trump has to make our brains away. Take our brains away.
Well, again, it's about confusing.
Yeah.
It's about confusing folks and instilling fear, right? Wherever you possibly can.
And not even fear as much as just basic confusion or just because there are people out there who will say, you know, like just total off the top of my head example, flat earthers. There is so much evidence to suggest that Earth is round. But because there's a few pieces of evidence or there's a few pieces of ideas out there that say, well, the Earth is flat. Well, what about that? I don't care about that. That's not reputable. Climate change isn't real. Yes, it is. Well, there's people out there. I don't care about those people because the stuff you're talking about isn't real. So just because you say debank is a word doesn't mean it's a word.
Nigel Farage made it a word last year. And now, according to the Daily Mail, it is widely used and widely in word circulation, which is not true.
I mean, the Spice Girls got Zigga Zig Oddaby. Something worth saying easier than this.
I would maintain that Zigga Zig Ah is more widely used than debanking even to this day.
What do you want to bet that in the between, like, okay, so this is the end by February. By the end of February, there are t-shirts, hats, other politicians are saying it. Your Marco Rubio's
grabbing onto this debank.
Your Ted Cruz's, your Ron DeSantis's, all these guys who are under the monolith that is Donald Trump, they're going to start saying these words with confidence and poise, these Ivy League educated people. And they're going to be like, yeah, debank's the word. I took economics courses at Harvard and my professor said debank all the time.
I just think it's another opportunity for them to try and sell some merch.
Oh God.
And I also think the whole woke, that juggernaut has kind of it's kind of run its course.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I
think it's run its course. You don't hear people on the stump anymore going on and on and on about woke because it didn't work.
It's a greatest hits. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. Donald Trump doesn't even talk about it. They'll probably talk about it at the convention. That'll be where. But after that, woke, drag queens, all these, like, they tried for a little bit and then it's gone because there's nothing.
Well, if they don't get traction, if the latest talking point doesn't get traction, you have to move on to something else. And so now the latest effort is going to be debanked.
Debanked. 608, Joe from Oshkosh, listening to WISS. Debank is the word of 2024. Thank you. Talk to Webster. Talk to Merriam-Webster. Talk to the Oxford English people.
We'll get it in for this year.
Last year, who cares? This year, it's debank.
All right.
Andrew, I don't want a shirt. Please don't make me a shirt.
Is he going to make you a shirt?
Please don't make me a shirt. By the way, I just want to say this real quick before we go to break. If you're watching the live stream, awesome for the conversation that's happening right now. If you're not watching the live stream, you should do it and join in the conversation. It's really fun. Very positive today. I love it.
Yeah, it is very positive. You can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be hard to find. Look for Civic Media.
Look for these mugs.
Look for our mugs. Yeah. And join the party. You can always leave a comment. You can always call and or text at 844-967-2789. Or you can download the highly useful and extraordinarily free Civic Media app.
That app will not debank you.
It will not debank you.
Yeah.
When we return, the Chiefs, the Niners, and heads are exploding. All the details on the way. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Shane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the board, Lord Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. Busy show today, all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Marilla Copier was here. We were talking about mesothelioma and where you can go if you need representation, if you've been exposed to asbestos.
Yeah.
And one of our friends on the live stream had a comment.
Yeah, Papa Rico, our longtime listener all day today. Thanks, Civic Media, for bringing such great guests and info. They may make an actual difference in my life.
That's so nice of you, Rico. We genuinely appreciate that. Yeah. And that is absolutely the goal.
Yes.
Of Matt Nair and on air. And I think the entire Civic Media Network is to bring people who know stuff.
Yeah. They have big brains.
They have big brains. And it's important. It's just important. Knowledge is power. The more stuff we can know, the better off we're going to be. The Chiefs and the 49ers.
Go Kansas City. That's what I say.
Go Kansas City. They will be playing in the Super Bowl in Las Vegas in 2 weeks. It's just remarkable to me. The conspiracy theories surrounding Taylor Swift. It is mind-boggling.
I mean, it's...
I am boggled.
My mind is boggled?
I am completely boggled.
What do the internets say about her now?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Next.
Former presidential candidate. Vivek says, I wonder who's going to win the Super Bowl next month. And I wonder if there's a major presidential endorsement coming from an artificially, culturally propped up couple this fall. Just some wild speculation over here. Let's see how it ages over the next 8 months. So,
much like your campaign, sir.
So Vivek is positing that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are in a fake relationship so that as we get closer to the election, they can endorse President Biden.
Yeah.
To swing the election.
Yeah.
I saw another more words from men kind of guy on Twitter.
I love it.
On Twitter this morning.
My more words from men posse.
He identifies himself as an alpha male.
Okay.
Alpha male.
Okay.
I think it's Nick Adams.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a parody or for real.
I don't think it's a parody.
Okay.
I don't think it's a parody.
He's too dumb to be funny. I said it.
Okay.
Come at me.
He said on Twitter
okay.
that Travis Kelce, because they won that game,
yeah.
the players get bonuses. So Travis Kelce got a $70,000 bonus check.
Sure.
And you wonder why Taylor Swift wants to be involved with him. Alpha guy, she has $1 billion.
Yeah.
She's worth more money than Travis's.
I think I looked it up. He's worth between like 30 and 40 or 30 and 50.
Very which respectable.
Is like, hey, I'm not shaking a stick yet.
I'll take
a portion of it.
I'd take a million of it.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. You're right, guy. That Taylor Swift, what a swindler. What a grifter. Gold digger, I think they call her.
Gold digger. Talentless.
Just, you know, how many... just dozens of Grammys that talentless can't write a song.
Dozens of Grammys for songwriting.
Yep. Literally has hundreds of awards from various groups, various institutions. You know, I just watched a video the other day of her showing up at a World War II vet's house. This was years ago. This wasn't recently. This was years ago. Showing up at a World War II vet's house to give him a private concert for the birthday party. Because he loves her.
Oh.
What a horrible person.
She is a terrible person.
Just blood-sucking leech. Travis Kelce, watch out. I'm getting more and more. I don't know why I'm doing this, but don't let her get in your mojo, your drive. You win the Super Bowl on your own. She's not throwing a football.
Well, and then there were all these other old tweets that were coming up from people who a month and a half ago were saying, the Chiefs are terrible. Kelce should retire. He's too old.
Yeah.
This is all Taylor Swift's fault.
And now?
Those don't age well.
No. Well, it's like all those Packer fans that I know that sometime in September were like, I'm not going to watch them this year. They suck. They're not going to be great. And by the end of it, they were like taking off work to go watch the game and stuff like that. And also, by the way, I'll just put this out there too. Mr. Vivek Ramaswamy, I saw a video of him being asked by what I believe was a trans person about the transgender movement. And he said that it was a mental disease, transgenderism. That's folks listening right now. If anyone ever refers to it as transgenderism, they are not a friend. They are not an ally. They are someone who thinks less of people who are trans, but he said that. And I was like, it didn't surprise me. Just makes me dislike him more. Sorry.
Plenty. Well,
what were we talking about?
Okay. We were talking about Taylor.
She's great.
And the other thing, I think one of the reasons for the animosity towards her now is because she started out in country music.
Yeah.
And I think they got to claim her. She's ours.
Country.
She's, well, you know what I'm saying, though. It was that kind of genre, and then she became more pop, and she's really had just tremendous success. So, but let's take a breath, you guys, about Taylor and Travis. Conspiratize somewhere else.
Take a knee, because in another universe, you'd be holding her up. If she was for Donald Trump, you'd be holding her up as a hardworking American woman who gets everything she deserves because she writes
the
songs that pumps the blood into the veins of America.
Well, you have one last comment before we have to wrap things up and get to the news, followed by the Todd Albaugh Show from Papa Rico. Jane, I can now say that the Civic Media app has made my life better.
You hear that, management here at Civic Media?
We've
helped make the app make people's lives better.
The Civic Media app. It won't change the entire course of your life, but it shouldn't make it worse.
What if it did, though?
It made it better?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then we'll accept. We'll own that.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for the news on the way, followed by the Todd Albaugh program. Thank you so very, very much sincerely for listening and calling and texting. We appreciate you more than you know, and I hope you find some joy today. Look, the sun's out. And you
it
have the,
is.
And you have the chance to share it. Stay with us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Band-Aids don't fix bullet holes.